All right, let's begin. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1 and verse 26. And we'll read verse 26 and 27. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so we see that there is a mystery. I mean, you know, there are things that must be revealed. There are things that the Spirit of God, Jesus said, I got to go away and send the Holy Spirit. And I don't know that all Christians really understand that, not just to Spirit-filled or whatever, but the fact that Jesus came to manifest certain things, but the Holy Spirit came to reveal the true Jesus. So there is a mystery, and it's been hidden. And you know from the scriptures that we've been studying that this is very common language in all those scriptures. I noticed in these scriptures, verse 26 and 27, that these verses here spell out two different knowings. One is manifestation. You can know by manifestation. And the other one is revelation. Okay, so I want to look at that in the scriptures that we talked about. But manifestation, the way these scriptures put it, is can be known right now. Okay? Can be known right now. What once was hidden is now manifest. All right. So that means that there was something hidden. And that means that the manifestation of it, which was Jesus, the incarnation, the cross, all of that is true. It's eternal. But the next part of the scriptures don't just talk about manifestation here. But manifestation is what once was hidden is now manifest. So in these scriptures, we're going to see that it's actually using a past tense and a present tense. Past tense and present tense. Verse 26 says, the mystery which hath been hid, that's past tense. It hath been. Hath is already, it already, you know, was a thing, was over with in that sense. The mystery which hath been hid, but now, so now we get into the present tense, but now is made manifest to the saints. Okay, so it's been made known. The manifestation has been made known. If you don't believe it, read what we call the Gospels. You know what that is, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the fact that you can just open your Bible and read of the manifestation, and you see the manifestation, you see Jesus in incarnation, but you also see the manifestation in action with the disciples in terms of laying hands on the sick and they recover, in terms of all the things that we're familiar with, miracles and all of that. But those are manifestations of something higher, okay? And that come from a realm that God wants to more fully reveal to us, okay? So, the very next verse is verse 27, and it says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. So, verse 26 has been talking about this mystery and preparing us to be able to start understanding it. But verse 27 is not talking about knowing the mystery. Verse 26 is talking about knowing the mystery. But what is verse 27 talking about? It's talking about knowing the riches of the glory of this mystery. That's two different things. One of them is already in motion, but the other one has a mystery of the riches and glory that is behind all of this. Okay, so again, made was past tense, manifest to his saints, verse 27, to whom God would make known. This is future tense. He wants to make known. Make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. So, you know, we can know the facts of any teacher. You can listen to any teacher or preacher, and if you're paying attention or you're writing it down or you're such a fast transcriber that you're doing, you know, catching every note and word, that doesn't mean that you know it. You know, you know the information of it, but God sent His Holy Spirit to reveal Christ and to reveal these things to us. And that is so important. Because it's real easy to be in a Bible school or be in a church and hear certain things and go, okay, oh, I never heard that before, but now I know it. Just because you heard it in a sermon? No. No, that's when we get on our knees and we say, Lord, open my eyes. I want to see you. I want to see, and the Spirit of God come upon us, not just to bless us, not just to manifest things through us. That's fine. It's fine. It's given. It is wonderful. But it's not what He really wants in fullness. He wants His Son to be known in certain ways. Okay? And what is mentioned here is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, Christ in you. You know, so many Christians are not even familiar with, I mean, they understand the terminology, okay? When I prayed, I asked Jesus to come in me and to live. But in fact, that's not just the way the scriptures are primarily talking about it. It is His life, to have another life, to have another spirit, to have another view. And that life is not like you and me. That's why it talks about, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Okay, so these are all part of the mystery, but God wants to reveal them. He wants to bring us into things that will establish this in us so that it's second nature, because it's another life. Another life is better than second nature. Yeah. Amen. And it is His life. We're all working. I gotta fix my life. He didn't want you to fix your life. He said, for you are dead. Amen. And your life is hid with Christ in God. When He appears, then you appear. Amen. Because you're in Him. Oh, all right. So, so this is a fact in this class. You can hear, you know, the teachings on the manifestation. You can hear the what someone would call simple gospel or whatever, but not know the riches, the hidden riches that come from being in Him, that come from His life and Him in you, that come from Him, so that it's not I, as he said in Galatians 2:20, but Christ lives in me. All right, so to whom God would make known there in the scriptures is future tense. So what's the point of what we've been saying here? Well, let me read you a scripture from Job. This is Job 11, verse 7 through 8. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? Okay, you know, anybody ever sing one of those children's songs, Deep and Wide? You know, and there's a deep and wide, and yeah, there you go. Y'all learned that here. And you were just a little baby when we were teaching you that way. And you still got it. Hallelujah. So what is the scripture saying? This scripture, and what is the point? The point is that, you know, can you by searching figure this out? We say, yeah. Jesus said in John 5:39, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. But Jesus said, but you won't come to me that you might have life. You come to Jesus to have healing. You come to Jesus to have blessings. But he didn't say, yeah, keep coming to me there. Though he had done so many miracles among them, yet they believed not in him, because it's not to believe. It's not just about believing in him that he can do manifestations. He said, this is John 5:39, you won't come to me. You search the scriptures because you believe there's life, but you don't realize I'm supposed to be the life, not there's life for you. There is my life is what it's about. My life. Again, Galatians 2:20, not I. You know, it'd be like raising your hand in a conversation with Jesus and he says, no, not you. We're in him. We're his body. Where are we found? In him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, which means is applied that we would try to measure up. When how can you measure up to the Son of God? You know, I mean, you might even be able to keep every ounce of the law, but the scriptures say by the works of the law is no man justified. Even if you kept every bit and you did everything right, every time in your whole life, it's got to be Christ in you. So let's look at Genesis 1, verse 1 through 4. In the beginning, so where was the beginning? But still not here yet. But anyway, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Are you seeing kind of a line of thought there? Do you want me to read it again? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Who created it? God created it. But what are we going to find out? We're going to find out words like without form. We're going to find words like void. We're going to find words like darkness. All right? So let's find them. All right? God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Okay, so I don't know about you, but I read that, and my mind always goes to, what a mess. I mean, is this really the way we want to start? You know? I mean, why would it start with this? Well, he has a reason. The next verse, right after this, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Okay? On the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. So how did he create? How was the first creation? How was that beginning? And that's not the beginning, because God was way before this creation. How did God create it? He created it with, he intentionally created it to be without form and void. What does it mean to be unformed? Somebody? No image. Okay. What else?
Undeveloped.
Pardon?
Undeveloped.
Undeveloped. It's good. Unclear, how about that? Without clarity. The form was not there to declare anything. It was devoid. It was empty. And it was darkness. Okay? So, to be without form and void is saying that it's void of what it's really about and will be necessary to be formed. Because remember, later on, he created Adam, didn't he? He created Adam. And you read that early in Genesis, but just a little way down then, he takes that same created and it says he formed Adam. There's a difference between being created. It would be like creating clay, and yet it's just a lump of clay, but then you form it, and it can be something special.
Amen.
Okay? So, void. So I put, it was void of what it's about, yet he intentionally started with it in this condition. Okay. So now, a couple of years back in Ireland, I shared on this, and my theme at that time was the hidden wisdom of God. How many of you were there in Ireland when I first shared this? Okay. All right, good. How many of you that weren't there, maybe watch the video or listen to it. Raise your hand. Okay? And I'm talking about the very first one. And the subject was the hidden wisdom of God. So, Genesis 1 was trying to teach us hidden wisdom. And if you remember, I was trying to keep it hidden. Y'all remember that? I was intentionally sharing things and parts and everything else. And you would think, well, you're not a very good teacher because you never told us what it was. Well, that's because it's not my place to reveal it. I can give you the word. I can give you the scriptures. I can put it there. But if it's I'm always telling you, you're going to believe that you know it by revelation when in fact you just heard it and agreed with it. And our hearts should be after the Lord, not just listening to a man. Don't trust me. Don't trust me. Trust the Holy Spirit. All right. So I wrote down again, it was covered with darkness. His creation was covered with darkness. How's that sound to you? It was covered with darkness. Why? Why did God start with darkness? Can I surprise you?
It was hidden.
It was hidden. I'm going to say it a little bit better. So we couldn't see.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Yeah. So we couldn't see. Not yet. Not yet.
Right.
You see a manifestation in creation, don't you? That represents something way greater. But God is not wanting you to latch on to that. All right. So Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. I wrote, he created things with no way to figure it out. It was a mess. I think I read a long time ago, one translation said that it was a soup. That the creation was basically this quagmire, this soup of just unformed whatever. So he created things with no way to figure it out. But what happened later? And not long later, but in his timing in Colossians, it's been a long time, but what happened later? And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? That's wonderful. Yeah, I mean, we can say the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to make me happy or make me get goosebumps, you know, or do a miracle for me or all of that kind of stuff. When Jesus started, you know, getting ready to go, when Jesus was getting ready to leave, he mentioned the Holy Spirit over and over and over, but he never mentioned goosebumps. He never mentioned miracles. He never mentioned all of these things that we've made the Holy Spirit out to be. The Spirit of God longs to bring forth and to reveal Christ and to reveal Him the way only the Spirit knows Him, because we don't know Him in eternity. We don't know Jesus in eternity. I was going to say amen, but Kelly's filling it up with three or four of them back there for all of you. Since you're not amen. The Holy Spirit, His desire, He was sent. When Jesus said, when He has come, He will testify of me. He will take that which is of mine and show it unto you. And Jesus says, it's important that I go away, that I send the Holy Spirit. Y'all remember that? Okay, it's important that you go away. If you were one of the 12 disciples and walk with Jesus for, you know, 3.5 years or however long, you would, when you heard Jesus say that after 3 years, you'd go, no, don't go away. Don't go away. Please don't go away. You're the best teacher I've ever had. You're so precious. And Jesus is going, I need to go away because you're looking at me in the flesh and you're knowing me after the flesh. And it talks about that in Corinthians, no longer knowing Him after the flesh. And yet, there we go. You know? We go to the Gospels and we find all the things that He did that could benefit me, and then it's all about me. Okay, I'm not against those things. We believe in miracles. We have them all the time. You ought to be married to this lady. The Lord uses her constantly, bringing people into the Lord and opening them up. And but not just her. We would not exist if it wasn't for miracles. You don't know all of them. I don't tell you. Because it's hidden. Sometimes it's good to put darkness over it until we're ready to see. But we don't want to just see the miracles. We want to see Him who lives in us. And we want to start acting like the body of Christ instead of like individuals that have a religion. We don't need religion. We need life. The church is missing isn't religion. We got it real good, you know. What we're missing is the life and the fullness of Christ. All right, so I read, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the deep. The purpose of the Spirit. It says the Spirit moved upon the face. And I wrote, is there not a face to be revealed?
Amen.
Is there not? There's a face. That we are changed into that same image from glory to glory when we look into His face. That's more than gifts. That's more than even evangelism or this or that. We'll do all of that by life, by His life. But you only get that by looking into His face and this, from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. I rest my case. AI. All right. So. And He said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, and that it was good. That it was good. Do you know how good light is to God? For how good it is for light to come finally in us? Oh my gosh. Then we're relating on an eternal level instead of an earthly, what I can get out of it level. I mean, do you honestly think if you died right now and you went to heaven and everything, you're going to be running around heaven going, oh, you know, Lord, give me a bigger mansion. Oh, Lord, you know, give me, you know. Do you think you're going to be living the same way there as here? No. No. It's going to be Christ in us. We're going to be functioning by eternal life. And I'm not talking about the length of it. I'm talking about the quality of it. Eternal life. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Father. All right. So, then it says, and God divided the light from the darkness. Darkness can be useful, but God never said, and he saw the darkness and it was good. He likes dividing it. So Jesus said in John chapter 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. All right. The very first thing to notice there is he's not saying, I will give you light in your dark little situations when you know, you had a car wreck and you can't get your car fixed because you don't have enough money and, you know, and you're worried about the future and all of this. He didn't say, I am the light of the crisis. Yeah. Has he ever intervened in your crisis before, ever? Mine, bunches of times, But I don't want to just relate on that level. I want to find him and I want him to be real and I want him to come out of me. And I want people to say, I see Jesus in you. And so I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. You say, well, you know, but that's what he said. But shall have the light of life. See, we're back to life. We're back to life. It's always life and it's always him and it's always following him until he's life. You say, I'm following Jesus. Are you following him till you get to the place where it is him in you?
Right.
Life. I mean, yes. May we all, and I pretty much have known basically all of you for a long time. And you have followed the Lord, but you followed the Lord because you wanted the life.
Yes, yes.
You were after life.
Sick of us.
Amen. All right, so John 12, verse 35. John 12, 35 says this, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. If you're walking in darkness, you don't know where you're going. Even a familiar place, if it's big enough, turn the light off and you'll still be knocking chairs down and stuff like that. Right? That's why we got these cushioned chairs. Not for our flesh, but in case we knocked the chair down and fell on it, it'd be cushioned. Just kidding, folks. All right. So, you know, as the pastor, I ask you, do you at least kind of trust that I hear from God?
Yes.
You know, because my whole heart and my life on this earth is pretty much spent that we might know him. Seriously. I'm not bragging and I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just saying I want Jesus and I want more and more of Jesus and I want him to increase. And at the same time, I want to decrease. He must increase and I must decrease. And I want that and I want him. And I want an ever expanding revelation of the one who is life. And may it bleed out of me in forms that would touch other lives. So on that first trip in Ireland, I didn't tell you. And I remember that there were some people that were like, well, this is really stupid. You spent this whole time sharing all of this stuff, five sessions or something like that, and you still didn't tell us what the hidden wisdom of God was. because I'm not the Holy Spirit. But I did spell it out enough, you could have heard it. Probably now if you went back after what we've done, you go, oh, yeah. And you said, oh, you know. Well, that's what I was hoping for, that you would go back and then come back with the seeing. So, the second trip, I said, don't tell anybody. How many of you remember me saying that? Don't tell anybody. Okay, well, just so you know, I said it on the video. How many of you watched the second video from Ireland? Raise your hand. Those that just raised your hand. I told you don't tell anybody yet. I said that. Don't tell anybody. Don't do that yet. We are still, the Lord is forming this thing in a way where we will one day, you know, and it may not be that long down the road, but it will come forth as life instead of another message that I heard. And, you know, this is the truth. There are doctrines and things that sound just like this that are heresy. It's not just like it because it's lacking the important elements. And if we just go running off and just sharing, you know, words and things until we really can say, hey, no, that's not what I'm saying. You understand what I mean? You need to be able to say to somebody, oh, so you're a Calvinist. No. Oh, you're an Arminian. No. I'm a Jesus freak. I'm a Jesus-loving Jesus freak. So it's really, 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 really important. And you know, we've already talked about this on a small scale, but that's part of, again, what I want to share next week, because there must be clarity. And if we don't have clarity, then we're in darkness, and then we're going to be saying stuff, and then we're going to start doubting ourselves. Just trust the Holy Spirit. Man, let's trust the Holy Spirit. All right, so so I also said, don't just go through the Bible picking out scriptures that you think will match. Do y'all understand what I just said? Don't go through the Bible just going, oh, here's one. This sounds like it may not be. Just because it sounds like, you know, it uses a word that would be very important to what we're talking about, but it's not discussing that subject. So we're just, you know, oh, I'm going to get this. And you just, okay, there's one, and, you know, there's another, and wow, there's another. Thank God I got a Strong's Concordance. This, you know, the concordance is revealing Christ. No, it's not. No, it's not. The Holy Spirit. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that He's here to glorify the Son and to reveal Him and to open our eyes to that which we don't know?
Yes.
And do you believe that there are areas of Him that you don't know yet?
Yes.
Well, I know there are with me. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. I've kind of alluded to it. But you know what? As the Lord is sharing this with me, going through the scriptures, and y'all know I'm a scripture searcher, I feel like I don't know anything. I mean, it's like the magnitude of what He's sharing is just like, oh my gosh. And the reach of it, if I can use that word, it makes me feel very small, not because God's trying to make me small, but because He's so big. He's so big, and I didn't know all of this, and I didn't know some of these areas, and I've felt ashamed at times, and I've felt empty at times because the fullness, you know what I mean? But I press on, and I will press on. And I will not stop because the Spirit of God is on this. All right, so So I said of that first time in Ireland, I said, I wanted you to be in the dark. And then I wrote down, did I do a good job? let's see. All right, so without form, all right, Genesis 2:7 says this, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. But the first use of talking about it was he created man in his likeness. But he didn't form him. He didn't form him. It has to be formed in you. This is my warning, and I keep saying this, is he can be working in your life to create you, but you're not being formed yet. You're getting stuff. But stay open. Let's all stay open. Let's be hungry for Jesus. Let's move forward together as a body and as a church. So I put down there is a forming and you need it, and I do too. And notice it didn't use the word, it used the word form. It didn't use the word formulate. There is a big difference. It's the Lord forming us into his image and forming his life into us. That's incredible. Us formulating what all these scriptures mean. And, oh, well, this must mean that and whatever. Even if you get the right answer, you still hadn't been formed. You're still formulating. You're using your mind and how you see it and your knowledge. Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 through 3. I love these scriptures. They have been an incredible feeding ground really recently. Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 3. Now faith is the substance of things. Wait a minute. Things. Manifestations. But faith is the substance. And we have to seek the faith of this. Not, again, I'm going to say it because that's what this class is about. Not the knowledge of it. The faith of it. Now, faith. And years ago, the Lord spoke to me when I was going through a hard time. And trying to find an answer and trying to find help and whatever. And I read the scripture, now faith is something. He said, oh, let's go back to the first two words, now faith, not future faith or past faith. What you need right now is now faith. You need faith now. You need now faith. You need it in the now. Stop trying to go back to a past event where he showed up and you had faith, because you know that most of the time that doesn't really do it. It won't drag you out of the mess. It might chipper you up a little bit, but it's not going to be now faith, because now faith is right now you are in the faith. You are believing. You are in touch. Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Wow. I mean, even if you don't fully catch that, it's like, what? This faith to God is the substance of what I... If the Spirit of God could say, this faith is the substance that I'm trying to talk to you about. And it is the evidence of things not seen. Yeah. Okay. And then So that first part, I want to do the future thing again. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, so that's future. That's future. But it's also the evidence of things not seen. It's the proof. Faith is the proof of things not seen. Okay, so in Christianity today, modern day Christianity, most of it is, you know, it can be anything from rituals to this is the way we do our service, to anything else. And we get used to the material world. And we live in the material world, and we think that that's the way we're supposed to be living. But faith is not, let me just say this. I'm not talking about charismatic faith. I'm not putting it down. And when I say I'm not, He's not. He's talking about things that are already there, things that are in God, things that must be revealed, things that we've seen over and over in the scriptures. That's what he's talking about. Verse 3, through faith we understand. Well, I mean, I cut the short, but it is. But through faith, that's when we first start understanding instead of going presuming. Can I say it like that? That we're starting to understand because it's faith, and faith is breathed into us, and it is given of life, so that the scales fall off of our eyes. And what did he do? He got up and started preaching Christ and him crucified everywhere he went. How about that?
Amen.
Evidence of things not seen.
Wow.
You know,
Hallelujah.
He had to have a living demonstration of making him where you can't see so that you will hear what he's been saying. Then he can open your eyes and bring you in to him, but it's bringing you into the understanding, but the understanding is him. Your faith is in him. But it's not just faith in salvation or faith in charismatic faith. This is faith in him.
Right.
In him.
Yeah. Amen. That's right.
Amen. All right. So through faith we understand. Okay, but there's more on that sentence. But it's good to break it up sometimes so we go, oh, you know. Let's go on. We understand that the world's were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. See, this is really big on things not seen. It is trying to bring us into things not seen. And we may know, you know, all of us may know just a whole bunch. In fact, most of y'all have been part of this church for since Moses, but anyway, you know, I mean, you really have actually. but there are these things that are unseen, even in relationship to creation. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He's saying, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're looking at the wrong thing. Or you can look at it, but ask to see past the shadow. Ask to see into the eternal instead of what your five senses can. Yeah, you know, I just realized that I was taking some notes yesterday, and I said our seven senses when I wrote it down. Anyway, your five senses, because we do go, and that's okay for eating dinner. I mean, it's good you're using not your hands or but your five senses cannot go there. He made you spirit and he gave you. And Jesus said of his words, talking to him, he said, okay, tell us, teach us that my words are spirit and life. Spirit and life. And, you know, there was an actual turn in me the day the Lord said that to me and showed me that, because it was almost like he said it to me, but he just said it in the Bible, but it was talking to me. And when he said, my words are spirit and life, and I went, oh my God, I can pick up my Bible and read a verse and not see spirit and life. All I see is what it's saying through my five senses. And I said, I don't want to do that. And I'm sorry. And I broke down. I did. I broke down and I cried and said, I don't want to. I'm sorry that when you speak, I don't hear it the way you give it. And I said, please let the Spirit of God begin to make it spirit and life every time I read a scripture. And when I don't, I have to stop and I go, I don't see spirit and life in this, but I know it's there.
Amen.
See? I mean, before that, you know what I used to do? I would just read something, and then I go, well, I don't understand that, so I just read on, you know what I mean? I pass over it. See what I mean? I would read it and go, I ain't sure what that is, so I just, I didn't go, your word is spirit and life, and it's right here, and I know you want to breathe this into me by the Holy Spirit. You say, but that'll slow down my Bible searching. Yeah, pretty much did mine too. That's why I spend so much time just trying to catch up. All right, so, well, it's time to quit, isn't it? What do we got?
You started late.
In the mouth of two or three witnesses. I agree, I started late. Oh, you want me to keep going? Oh, I didn't get that. I will probably come back to this, but I am gonna go ahead and go so that we can at least set the groundwork for it. Through faith, we understand what? Oh, through faith, we understand how to pray for the sick. Through faith, we find that, not that faith. He's not talking about that faith. And he's not talking about faith to get saved or whatever. He's talking about faith past the senses and into his realm, because the next words is that that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things that are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, the creation was a shadow of something greater. We go, no, that couldn't be right. The creation was the big kahuna. Sorry for my Hawaiian. The big beginning that was everything, that was all, you know. But remember, when he first started, he started with darkness and void and all of this. And then he created man, but he still wasn't formed. And, you know, and he was trying to give us a clue when he says, you know, it was in, and darkness covered the earth, but then the Spirit of God moved. Well, if you really understand the Holy Spirit and his ministry, then you know where that's going to lead. It's going to lead to Jesus. And then God says right after that, let there be light. Okay. It was important. It's for, without form and void, till we squeeze our little brain so many ways to try to figure it out. Why is this darkness? Why is this soup going on? Why is this? Why did he start like this? This doesn't sound like God. This sounds like Satan. All this darkness. Blah, 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 blah. How about Holy Spirit? Reveal the Son. We don't have to, you know. But the worlds were framed Let's see. Refers to creation. God spoke it into existence by the word, but there's more to the word than that, okay? Everything that is came out of God.
Yes.
Because there was no trees, there was no this, there was no that, there was no none of that. There was no creation. In the beginning was God. It's that simple. So it wasn't just a work. Everything he created came out of him. Okay? What we usually see out of that is, oh yes, he's the source of everything. Oh yeah, I agree. Like that's real depth there, huh? Well, I'm just saying, you know, there's more to it than that. And here's what I wrote. He's not just the source, but what he is doing is in his heart.
Right.
And I am going to go ahead and quit right here because I really want to prove from the scriptures and a bunch of them, I want to prove that when we read these things and we just go, okay, you know, we read over so much and we go, I don't understand this, so I'll go on. And when we see, well, everything, you know, God created everything. That's the wording we say. But the Spirit of God told me to say, what was that word? Everything that is came out of God. Came out of it. Okay, there's a difference then. Let me explain the difference, okay? So that would be like a lump of clay. And I'm going, so I got the clay and I'm going, okay, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to make something here. But
yeah.
He didn't just say, well, I think I'm just going to make something. Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians. I'm telling you, they tell another story. They tell a story of God's good pleasure. They tell a story of something he wanted that was not just the creation and not just people running around driving cars. Something eternal. Something glorious. And I'll say this, and this will blow your mind. Something greater than heaven. Which is what? Tell me.
Jesus.
Well, let's get specific.
Jesus.
Let's get specific. Christ in you and you in Christ. You in him. And that pure son, to be one in oneness with him eternally is greater than him just going, oh, I just took a lump of clay and I made a man. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's going, oh, that's real good. What was your heart behind it? Somebody, one person might go, well, what was your heart behind it? Why did you do that? I mean, Ezzie, you've taught art, right? And you say, okay, draw me something. And so all the kids are drawing different things and everything. And then you go up to one of them and you say, you look at it and everything, and you say, so what did you see when you drew this? It's amazing what kids. It's amazing. They go da 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 da, and you go, wow, Kelly, you're writing songs. Asher, that little boy,
yeah.
and his big sister. Remember, you said, write a song. I wish I had him here right now to sing this song. It was, wow. But if we never really listen to the song, we just say, well, he wrote a song. He's just a little kid, you know, and here's how he plays the guitar. And he doesn't even change chords. You know, you go, well, this can't be good. Let's move on. Oh, my Lord. Why do we discount everything and everybody? Let's trust the Lord to open our eyes. And let's start by respecting the Lord in a different way than we have been. To honor him. to bow the knees of our heart and say, I want to see you. I love you, but I know I can't love you to your fullest extent unless you reveal yourself. And I want to love you, not I want to know deep things. Can't be that, because then you're selfish again. And he's just hearing another selfish desire. But when you shout, I love you, take me deeper into you.
Amen.
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 Oh my. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for what was in your heart before the foundation of the world. And it was that thing that was in your heart that moved your creative abilities to start bringing certain things about. It wasn't just because you wanted to create cars and streets and all that. It was because there was something deep in you that would honor your Son and in so doing bring honor back to you as the Father. Blessed be you, Father. Blessed be you, as it says in Philippians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessings in heavenly places, not heaven, in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, may the glory that you deserve arise out of our hearts. And may the awe return to us concerning you and your Son and the Holy Spirit. May we be in awe, and may it return and it move us to tears at times, and it moves us to so much awe we can't speak or do anything. When your presence moved into the sanctuary, the priests fell down and they could not minister by reason of your presence. That's what we want. We don't want to be the biggest church in Denton. We don't want to be the richest church. We want your presence so real in each and every one of us so that none is left behind. In Jesus' name.